Father, I thank you for the Word of God that speaks into our hearts and lives in every situation, every time, whatever we're dealing with, Lord. And Father, I pray that this morning that once again the Spirit of the Lord would just help us, speak to us today. I pray, Father, that as we hear the Word of God, that our faith will be strengthened and encouraged and challenged. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Going to the other side. We, as a church, have been on an amazing journey. If you've been a part of Grace for very long, you know that we have passed through a lot of changes and transitions. We have survived the first pastor change in 50 years. That's a long time. Amen. What a blessed ministry Brother Harold Nichols had in this church, to pastor this church for 50 years. But you know that first pastoral change for a lot of churches is absolutely devastating. And we survived, praise the Lord. So, you know, that was just the beginning of many changes that took place. And I believe God ordained changes. You know, we changed the name of the church, not much, but a little. And we changed the image of the church. We changed from a traditional Sunday school program when we left the old facility. We changed to a small group program and using that as a vehicle to disciple people. We've traversed a lot of unknowns. You know, unknowns can actually be worse than the battle itself sometimes. And, you know, one of the ways that people experience that sometimes is when you go through an illness, you know, a real serious illness. Sometimes it's the unknown of what's going to happen and what it is or what you're dealing with is actually worse than the battle itself. And for us, as a church, we've dealt with a lot of unknowns. We didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I was looking back to about 3.5 years ago when we left that old facility, even just a month before, we had already sold the building. We already have a scheduled time. We have to be out. And we're down to the last month, and I didn't even know where we were going to be meeting. That's an unknown. That's a big unknown. But God brought us through all that. You know, we went through that great transition of leaving a facility where we had worshiped for over 40 years, almost 50 years, we'd worshiped at that location. And we left that facility and went into a school for a period of time while we remodeled this facility. Wow. What a transition. What a change. I tell you, we have been through some battles and difficult times together, but God has brought us through. It's all been in pursuit of fulfilling a vision that we are going to the other side. We are fulfilling a vision. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. In the New King James, it says it this way, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. See, when the Bible speaks of vision, it's talking about a revelation of the plan and the purpose of God, the will of God for our lives. It is a direction of where God wants us to go. Without vision, what happens is that people just end up going around in a circle, wandering aimlessly until they are no more. Much like what happened to that generation of the children of Israel that passed away in the wilderness. They just wandered aimlessly in the wilderness because they lost vision. And I want to tell you, we as a church, we need to keep vision and know where we are going. But also in our personal lives, we need to have a sense of vision and purpose and destiny about what God wants to do in our lives. Our vision as a church is to reach this generation by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. Now, that vision is not just words. See, some churches and organizations have these statements that are just kind of like flowery statements that don't really mean anything. But that vision is something that we practice and pursue every day. We put our efforts and our resources into our children and youth ministries and into our small group ministries. By the way, I encourage you to be a part of a small group during the school year when those groups are meeting on a regular basis. I think there's a couple of them that meet even through the summer. But during the school year when they're meeting on a regular basis, that's an important part of this body, of the ministry of this church. Some of you that have been in church for a long, long, long time, you may say, well, I don't need that. But I'm telling you that what you get on Sunday morning is not enough to really disciple a person and teach them how to really live a Christian life and live in all that God has for them. And so even those of you that are mature believers, you need to make yourself a part of a group so that you can help another along the way, a new convert or somebody that hasn't really been taught and discipled in how to live for God. But that's an important part of this ministry. But I want you to understand that we pursue that vision. Really what that vision is all about, to put it another way, it is to see lives changed by the power of the gospel. To see lives changed. That's what we're passionate about. And I want to tell you, that's what the Lord is passionate about. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. He said that we would be witnesses of Him. And He made this declaration, I will build my church. You know, in Ephesians 4 and 16, it tells us that as each part of the body does its work, it builds, it grows and builds itself up in love. And see, some people don't understand why church growth is important. In fact, I've met some people, they just said, you know what, I like the church small. I like a small church where you know everybody and everybody's close, and I don't want it to change. I don't really want it to grow. Well, you need to talk to Jesus then, because He wants His church to be growing. He wants to build His church, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not about numbers. It's about souls. Every single one is a soul that He died for. Listen, He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So every soul, every one that's added. See, some people say, oh, well, it shouldn't be about numbers. No, it's not about numbers. It's about souls. But we need to always be growing. Always be reaching, always be fulfilling the commission that Jesus gave us. And that is part of our vision, is to reach our generation. I tell you, we want to have an impact on this whole area, that every person has an opportunity to know Jesus personally. I want to remind you, there's more joy in heaven, Luke 15 and 7. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, it doesn't bring much joy in heaven that 99 of us show up here and worship. It didn't need repentance. But what really gets heaven excited is when people are coming to the Lord. When people's lives are changed, that stirs up heaven. They get excited in heaven over that. And I'll tell you what, when we see that here on earth, we get excited too. And you know, sometimes we lose sight of that. And so I want to put that vision back before you this morning, that's our vision. That's where we're going, is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ and to see changed lives. And that's why we want to build a new facility. I believe it is part of the plan of God for this church and part of the vision He's given us as He is building His church, and we are a part of that and reaching people. Grace is going to continue to grow, and we're going to need that facility. And that facility is going to facilitate for our growth. It is going to help us in growing and reaching people for the Lord Jesus. That's why, by the way, this is phase one. Now, we have 73 acres over there, and I don't know how much of that we're actually going to use, but we have laid out on the plans of that property for two more buildings as we grow. And you say, well, Pastor, don't you think that's pretty ambitious? We haven't even got building one built yet. I sure do, but I'm not putting any limits on God. And I know that He is able. I'm believing God for great things, that there is a great harvest. Listen, it's white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. And so I'm believing that God is going to bring a great harvest, that He's going to bring that growth and that increase. So this is just phase one. It's not an end of itself. We're not going to build that building and then we're done. No, we're going to believe God for more. We're going to believe God to reach this generation. Amen. So that's our vision. You know, it hasn't been easy, but we're going to the other side. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 6. You know, there was a couple of times when Jesus told the disciples, "We're going to the other side." And do you know that every time he told them, "We're going to the other side," they went to the other side. Isn't that amazing? He never said, "We're going to the other side," and then they didn't. No, when he said, "We're going to the other side," they went to the other side. And I'm telling you, when God speaks to your heart, when he puts something on your heart to do, to carry out a purpose, when there's part of the will of God for you, you can count on it that you're going to the other side. You're going to accomplish what God has for you. If you just won't give up, you won't turn back, if you'll just pursue on and obey God, you're going to the other side. In Mark chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 45, and we'll read through 55. "Immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him." Now I want to continue on here for another verse or two, because it tells us why Jesus was going to the other side. "And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through their whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him, they were made well." Why did they have to get to the other side? Because there were many, many people still for Jesus to reach, to take the gospel to set free, to heal. There were still a lot of people that needed ministry, so they had to go to the other side. Listen, that's why we got to go to the other side. And not just as a church, I'm talking about personally in our lives. We got to go to the other side. Whether it's in your family, raising a family to serve God, that glorifies the Lord and it has an impact on people. When you conduct your finances in a way that the Scripture instructs, that brings glory to God. Listen, when you as a Christian in the workplace do everything heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, you are a witness for the Lord. You're having an impact on other people. But whatever our endeavors are for God, when we go to the other side, when we accomplish what God gives us to do, it gives us the opportunity to minister to other people. I'll tell you, people will come to you and they'll say, "How is it that your kids are so well behaved?" They'll say, "Why is your marriage like it is? Why are you not worried and stressed out about the economy? How is it that you can be happy when you're going through this test, this trial right now?" People will ask you about your faith when you go to the other side in victory. They had to go to the other side. So do we. And when we do, it glorifies God. Listen, this message this morning is for you if you have a vision that is yet to be fulfilled. If you've not achieved all of your dreams, if God has put in your heart to do something you haven't done yet, if you haven't seen the manifestation of something you're believing for, if you need a breakthrough, if you're in a struggle, a battle right now, if you're fighting the good fight of faith, even if you have given up, I want to tell you, you are going to the other side. Jesus told them to get in the boat. In fact, it says it this way. It says, he made them. It's kind of like mom and dad getting ready to go on vacation, there comes a point where they just make the kids get in the car. Get in the car. Jesus made them get in the boat. It's really strange to me that it's worded that way, but he made them get in the boat. Why did he have to make them get in the boat? I think it's for two reasons. Number one, because Jesus himself wasn't getting in the boat. They just wanted to stay with Jesus. But you know, the other thing that's a big part of that, I think, is they wanted to stay where they were at. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. I mean, it was one of those glorious times. And the Bible says, tells us that the people wanted to take him by force and make him their king. Wow, this is it, Jesus. I know the disciples were excited. They want to make you king. They didn't want to leave. You know what? We're just that way sometimes in the body of Christ. When God blesses us, when God pours His Spirit out on us, does something special in our lives, we just want to park there forever. But you can't. You got to go to the other side because there's more that God wants to do in and through our lives. So you got to go to the other side. And Jesus made them get in the boat. And I tell you, there'll be things that God will tell you to do. He'll instruct you. He'll point you in a direction. Go to the other side. So they obeyed. They got in the boat. They set out to do what the Lord told them to. And that's what we have to do. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. When you do that, you're setting yourself up for victory. You're setting yourself up for a miracle. When we do everything that He says to do, then everything is going to be all right. If He tells you to work in the children's ministry, then you better work in the children's ministry. Oh, well, I was going to, but somebody said something to me and hurt my feelings. Listen, they're not the ones that called you. Quit letting somebody else be Lord in your life. If Jesus told you to do something, then you need to do it. See, if He tells you to talk to your neighbor and invite them to church, you better go do it. If He tells you to become an intercessor in prayer, then you better become an intercessor. If He tells you that He wants you to go to the nursing home and to visit with people, you better get yourself to the nursing home. But whatever He tells you to do, you do it. Do it with all your heart, with all your might. So they obey the Lord. And listen, when we obey Him in simple faith, He takes care of the rest. Verse 47 tells us what happens when we obey the Lord. Here it is. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. They are 3 or 4 miles out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. And the wind is blowing against them. They are straining at rowing. They're working at it with all their might, but they're not getting anywhere. I don't know if you've ever done that. I actually have. I've been out on the pond in a little boat with just a paddle, no motor. And you know, when the wind gets up to about 20 miles an hour, you can just paddle all you want to. And you look at the bank and you're not going. You're just staying where you are. And you stop for a minute to look and you look back up and you've gone backwards 10 feet. That's the way it was for the disciples. They're out in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, and they are straining at rowing. They're giving it all they've got, but the wind is against them. And you read this same story in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 6, it tells us that it was a great wind. This was no just gentle breeze that they faced, but it was a great wind that had risen against them. It was a great opposition. You know, we all face opposition. If you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to pursue after vision and the plan of God in your life, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a battle because you have an adversary. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, he is against you. And I'll tell you, he will stir up the circumstances against you. He'll stir up the wind to oppose you. Whatever it is that you're supposed to do, he's going to try to stop you from doing it. When we're straining against the oars, trying to get all our family serving God, trying to get our finances turned around, trying to win other people to the Lord, trying to fulfill the call of God in our life, sometimes it seems like we're not getting anywhere. Giving it all you've got and going nowhere fast. I got to tell you this morning, that's the way it was for several years in our pursuing building a building. Talked to different architects and builders. And there for a couple of years, it seemed like each month I would talk to a new one, a different one. And each month, the price would go up again and again and again. And we just could never really get a peace about the direction that we were to go. And it seemed like the harder we tried and the more we struggled and strained at the oars, that the wind just blew against us and every door shut. And you see, sometimes in the plan and purpose of God, the wind comes against us and it's tough. And you're not getting anywhere. You might start questioning whether you're in the will of God. Listen, just because there's opposition, just because the wind is blowing, doesn't mean that you're not supposed to go to the other side. If Jesus said, go to the other side, then it doesn't matter what the circumstance, what the wind is like, you go to the other side. A lot of people, when the wind kicks up, they start looking for a different way. Let's just go this way or that way. Let's find a new way. No, go to the other side. Keep doing what Jesus told you to do. You know, the Apostle Paul had ministered to the Thessalonians, and he wanted to go back there. Listen to what he said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. We wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. See, a lot of times we just talk about the victory. We don't talk about the battle that we faced before we got to the victory. It was Paul who said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he also said, we wanted to come back to you again and again, but Satan hindered us. You see, we're in a real fight, a real battle. And there is an enemy that's working against you to hinder you. But don't give up. No, you keep doing what God told you to do. You keep pressing on. Sometimes it seems like all hell breaks loose against us. You know why? Because all hell is against us. But Jesus has said that even the gates of hell will not be able to stop His church. Now, where was Jesus in all this? Well, He went up into the mountain to pray. And that's why the gates of hell cannot prevail against His church. Because He is ever interceding for His church. And He said, I will build my church. But you need to know that in your struggle, in your battles, that Jesus is interceding for you. See, they may have felt like they were all alone out there on the lake in the dark in that boat fighting against the wind, but Jesus still could see them. Now, I want to tell you that the battle that is arrayed against you is supernatural. See, a lot of times we think that it's just the wind. Well, it's just the wind. No, it's supernatural. You see, when we set out to find an architect, and every architect we talked to just kept, the price just kept escalating and escalating and escalating. And in the economy, the way it was, it just seemed like, wow, such opposition, such a wind blowing against us. It's supernatural. But so is our help. As Jesus is praying for us and interceding for us, I'm telling you, we got some supernatural help. You know, it's really interesting as Jesus is praying up on the mountain. They are 3 to 4 miles out in the sea, and the Bible says that He could see them rowing. He has some supernatural eyesight. He sees your struggle. He knows what you're going through. He hasn't forgotten about you. You say, Lord, You got me stuck out here. I'm giving it all I've got, and I'm going nowhere fast. Don't You remember me? Don't You see? Yes, He does, and He's praying for you. He's praying that you will overcome, that your faith will fail not. And I'll tell you, if you'll just keep pressing on, you're going to have victory. Lord, where are you? You ever felt like saying that? Lord, where are you? I can imagine the disciples were saying that night. They're out there in the boat. Lord, where are you? But He didn't forsake them, and He doesn't forsake us. No, He sees us even in the dark, even in our struggle. He's watching over us. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone in our struggle, but we're not. He's with us. He's always with us by His Spirit, but He's interceding for us with the Father. You know, when the wind is against you and you can't seem to go any further in your battle and your struggle and fulfilling God's purpose in your life, what are your choices? What are your options? Just give up. You know, most Christians don't want to go backwards. They say, oh, no, never. But what happens to so many Christians, sadly, is they just begin to drift. They pull their paddle in and they just sit and drift. Now, some people say, oh, well, you can't get anywhere like that. Yeah, you will, especially when the wind's blowing. When you stop rowing and the wind's blowing, you're going to get somewhere, but you're not going to like it when you get there. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what happens to a lot of Christians. Sometimes when they finally get back in church and really serving God again, they'll say things. I don't know how I got so far. I don't know how I got into that. I don't know what happened. I do. They were drifting. You see, you can't just pull your oars in and give up. You got to stay in there. You got to keep rowing. You got to keep doing what God told you to do with all your might. Quitting's not an option. Giving up is not an option. Drifting is not an option. No, you got to keep obeying God. And if you'll do that, then you'll have victory. You know, I don't know what God's will is for every person, except I do know there are some simple things that every person needs to continue to do. You need to stay in church. When all the opposition is against you and it seems like you're getting nowhere and you say, what good has it done me? What difference does it make? Stay in church. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, we all need to be encouraged. We all need the strength that we draw from one another. And it has always been part of Satan's design to try to isolate people. Because listen, as a body, we draw strength from one another. And we're stronger together. We're better together. So I encourage you, listen to the Word of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important to stay in church. You come to church. Listen, part of what happens when you stay in church is you get vision. You get revelation of the Word of God, what God wants to do in your life. And without that, you end up just drifting. I tell you, you need to stay in church. Stay in prayer. Luke 18:1 tells us that men ought always to pray and never give up. Don't stop praying. No matter what you're going through, how bad it seems, no matter how futile it may seem, you just keep praying. Men ought always to pray and never give up. Prayer is where your strength comes from. Prayer is how you get through to victory. Prayer is how you bring God's power into your situation. And whatever you do, stay in the Word. It is the Word of God that speaks into our lives and gives us vision. It's the Word of God that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that shows us the right way to go. It keeps us true to our course. Without the Word of God, that's when we cast off restraint and we end up being off course. You got to stay in the Word. It's the Word of God that will strengthen and build your faith so that you can stand through the test. Stay in the Word. I didn't read this. I want to read this from John's Gospel as well, this story. he gives us some detail that Mark didn't. And it is the same story. You know, it's interesting. It's one of those passages where, told from a different gospel writer, he refers to a different place that they were going to. But it's the same story. He's talking about, it's really the same area, but some people get confused about that. After he fed the 5,000 in both gospels, then he tells the disciples to get in the boat. And so here's the story from the Gospel of John. When Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. And now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat and were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they were afraid. You know, sometimes when the Lord comes to help us, we don't even recognize it that it's God. It's amazing to me how often God does not step in, do a miracle in the way that I thought he would. In fact, a lot of the time, God will do things in such a strange way that we don't even recognize it's him that's helping us, that's blessing us. But Jesus comes to them. Now, you know, we read this story now, Jesus walking on the water. And we think, well, what's wrong with these guys? They shouldn't have been surprised, Jesus walking on the water. Nobody had ever done that before. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they were afraid. They're like, what is this? What is this? And he says, it's me. Don't be afraid. And sometimes when your answer comes, you need to listen for the Lord. You may hear, it's me. Don't be afraid. And I have to tell you, in our believing God and doing everything we know to do to find the right architect and builder, it seemed like we're just getting nowhere. I get a phone call from Brother Strickland's son, Joel. And he says, Mark, I just want to pick your brain. And I was thinking, well, go ahead. There ain't much there, but have at it, you know. And he says, what would you think about me helping y'all with your church plans? Joel works in an architect firm up in South Lake. And he says, what would you think about me just helping y'all with your church plans? He says, I'm so glad that my mom and dad are a part of y'all's church and everything, and I'd just like to help y'all with your plans. Well, at the time, I had no idea just what a blessing that was going to be. But over the last year and a half, Joel has worked with me very closely, and we've gone back and forth over and over and again working on those church plans, and he has completed our church plans for us. I'm telling you, that is a real miracle, a tremendous blessing for our church. Some of the architects that I spoke to a couple of years ago, they said they would quote us figures such as $140,000 plus whatever hourly fees we have to add on to that depending on this and that. In other words, not even a cap at $140,000. That's a lot of money. I'm not seeing much shock with y'all, but I'm telling you, that's a lot of money. Some of y'all need, you young people, forget about being a doctor, go be an architect. Anyway, $140,000 to do our church plans, and the Lord sent somebody to do them for us and didn't charge us. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a real miracle. And you know, just continue to pray for us as we press on in the build process, that there's a wind against us. But you know what? God is able to make a way. And you know, no matter what's going on with the economy, God is able to make a way. You know, in some ways, the economy right now is actually a good thing for us building, because for that several year period, the price of building just kept skyrocketing. Every month it would go up some more. And it's actually come down some now. So praise the Lord for that. But just pray that God will give us wisdom and direction as we continue to pursue that. But God is working and He's moving in our lives personally as well. Listen, if you're believing for a healing or salvation for someone, or praying for victory in your home, don't give up. You need to say, I'm going to the other side. You need to know in your heart, Jesus said to go and I'm going to the other side. I'm going to see my whole house saved. I'm going to see my body well and healed and whole. Amen. Make up your mind that you're going to the other side. Don't give up on your goals. Jesus may step into your boat at any time. You know, when Jesus gets into your boat, the struggle is over. Now, you know, in the Gospel of Mark, it doesn't really relate this exactly the same. It says he got in the boat and the wind ceased, and then when they got to the other side. But in the Gospel of John, he words it a little different here. He says, when Jesus got in the boat, it says, immediately they were at their destination. Wow. Now, you know, there are times when the Lord gives you the strength to keep rowing. You just get to that place where you think you can't go anymore, and He'll give you what you need to press on and keep going. And there's times when Jesus steps in the boat and the battle is over. The victory's won. You've reached your destination. You're at the other side. I don't know about you, but I like those immediatelys. I'd like to have some more of those. But I want you to understand, you see, He's always with us by His Spirit. But we've all experienced those times in our lives when all of the sudden, it's like God showed up and everything changed. And I'm telling you that some of you that have been in a struggle for a long time doing all you know to do, you need to believe this word this morning. You're going to the other side. And it may be that Jesus is about to step into your boat and the wind will be gone. Or that Jesus is going to step into your boat, not only the wind's gone, but you're there. You know, I've been on a few plane trips where about the time you got to the, you know, about the time you got through ascending, they started back down. It's such a short trip. But that's nothing compared to this. Jesus steps in the boat and they're there. That's pretty cool. Do you know He can do that in your family? He can do that in your finances? Go to the other side. How can you know that you're going to make it to the other side? Because God is on your side. He's with you. So don't give up. Sometimes we think we just can't handle anymore. I hear that sometimes. I see it. I see it in your eyes. Sometimes I read it on Facebook. People say, oh, I can't take anymore. They've given all they had. They've rowed until they're just completely spent. The Apostle Paul faced one of those times in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11. He says, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You see, even the great Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, there was a time when he faced such a heavy burden and dark battle that he said, it was above strength. It was more than I could handle. But God delivered him. And I want to tell you, you may get to that place where you just say, God, I can't go on. I can't do anymore. Look to the Lord, because He will give you the strength you need. He'll give you what you need to make it through. He will deliver you. You know, as I read about the Apostle Paul and what he faced, this seems kind of trite, but it's real to me. A couple of weeks ago, on Saturdays, I was doing my sermon preparation. I just really, really struggled with getting my message together. And that morning, I was still struggling, and I got the call that Leslie had a bad wreck. And as I jumped into the car, I mean, I was gone from here within 10 seconds and flew down the highway, literally. Got back to the church at about 2 or 3 minutes till 9. And you know, I'm just thinking, I got to preach. And my message just hasn't come together, and I'm just not ready. And I'm telling you, I was pressed above measure. I mean, it was more than I could handle. How am I going to get up there and preach? But I knew this, though. I knew that God was faithful. I knew that whatever happened to me, He's going to take care of me. He'll make a way. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. That sometimes, you know, life may just seem like more than you can handle. And you say, how can I get it done? How can I accomplish what I'm supposed to do in life? God will make a way. He will get you to the other side. He's for you. And if He told you to go to the other side, you're going to the other side. I told you at the beginning, there's not one time that He told somebody, we're going to the other side, that they didn't go. You know, sometimes it looks like it's too late, too far gone. I remember one time when Carmen was looking for a teaching position, and it was the last week before school started. It was like just a day or two before school started, and she went and applied for a position that was open at a particular school district, and they didn't hire her because they ended up hiring somebody that knew somebody and all that kind of stuff. You know how that goes. But that principal got a call from another principal. Do you know anybody? And he said, oh, we interviewed somebody I would like to have hired. That principal called Carmen. School had already started. It was into September. The school had already started. And that principal called Carmen at 9 o'clock that morning and said, would you come interview? Carmen went over and saw that principal. At 3 o'clock that afternoon, she had a job. See, God can make a way. You do what you know to do, and you keep doing what you can. See, don't stop rowing. Don't give up. Don't change course. Don't just drift. But keep pressing on, doing what God has told you to do, and He'll make a way for you. He'll get you through. I want you to stand with me. And as we pray this morning, I just want to encourage you. Your dreams, your visions, your goals. Young people, I know you got things before you in your life. You need to realize God can fulfill those dreams in your life. Some of you moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers, listen, God's not through with you yet. There's still things He wants you to accomplish. You might say, oh, but it's too late for me. No, it's not. Not for God. You need to realize He's taking you to the other side of some areas of your life. There's still a victory. There's still a plan. There's still something God wants to accomplish. There's a work He wants to accomplish in your life. And through your life, go to the other side. Father, I just thank You for these that are here today. Lord, I thank You for the Word of God to us. Lord, that I pray, Father, that every person here would just be encouraged in their faith. And Father, that not one will give up. Not one will drift. Not one will lose out in their faith and in serving God and fulfilling Your plan. Oh, Father, I pray, especially for these young people. I know the enemy wars against them to distract them, to discourage them from the call of God and what You have for them. And Father, I just pray for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus that every one of them will completely fulfill the plan of God, the purpose of God, to serve the purpose of God in their generation. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank You, Lord, that in our hearts and lives today that You are Lord, Lord of the storm, Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I want some prayer partners to join me down here this morning. And I just encourage you, if you're in the battle and you're struggling, you say, I need some help, I need some strength, I need a miracle, this is an opportunity for you to pray and believe and have somebody else pray in agreement with you. The Bible says, if any two agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for us by our Father in heaven. So this is a great opportunity for you to pray and believe God for that miracle. You may just want to ask Jesus, Jesus, come on into my boat. I'm waiting, Lord. I need Your help. Step in, Lord. Step into my home. Step into my finances. Step into my health. Lord Jesus, come and help me. I need Your help. I want you to know that Jesus still helps those who call out to Him. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus.